We're talking with Nadia Comaneci, and we're talking about the 1976 Olympic Games in Montreal. Nadia, when you take a look at the fact that you were the first one to post a 10 in Olympic competition, at that particular time when you were competing, what did that mean to you, and what do you think it meant to other people watching the sports, you know, the gymnastic sport?
You know, the 10 is meant the highest score you can ever get. I didn't expect to get a 10. I always said that if I think of my routines and how I perform them, probably I was expecting to get a 9.9, and I didn't expect to get that 10. Perfection, that was the best feeling of accomplishing something that I didn't expect to accomplish. And a lot of people, when you say today, Nadia Comaneci, I think that they don't remember how many medals I won in 76 or in my career. I think they identify my name with the 10 and perfection.
And you know the thing that impresses me about that 10, and this may surprise you a little bit, Nadia, but back at that time in 1976, there was not, at least I perceive it from the outside and as a sportscaster, I didn't sense there was the politicization that maybe we find in sports today, especially when it comes to scoring, because it wasn't like it's something somebody had accomplished before. You were doing it for the first time. Am I correct in that observation?
Did I receive the 10 in the Olympics the first time? That's what you mean?
Well, what I mean by that is that what's more impressive about the 10 that you received is it wasn't a time when there was as much politics as what followed in the Olympics when it comes to scoring.
And the scoring system has changed now. It's not the same anymore. And, you know, I didn't know all of the things that there were behind the scenes, but, you know, I did my routines. They were good enough. There were four judges at that time, and the highest score and the lowest score goes out. So apparently the two in the middle were two tens. From what I understand, there was a 10, a 10, a 10, and a 9.9. So a 10 and a 9.9 dropped. So that's how I ended up with the perfect score.
What was your life like when you came back to Romania after doing not only winning the golds but setting the record with that perfect 10?
Oh, there was a lot of celebration. A lot of people waiting for us at the airport. We celebrated for probably 2 or 3 days, and then we went back to the gym.
did you set a standard not only for yourself but maybe for other gymnasts around the world, but particularly probably in your country? The expectation that Nadia, okay, she's gotten 10, so this is what she can do every time. Did that put added pressure on you, Nadia?
Well, I wanted to compete at the next Olympic Games. That was my goal. So, yes, you can easily drop to 9 or 8, and it takes a lot of hard work to still maintain that that 10, which is every gymnast's goal at that particular time. So I had to go in the gym and I had to redo and change a lot of the routines because, you know, it's hard to compete with the same routine over and over because you need to improve and show something new at the next competition, especially the next Olympic Games.
You were obviously 18 years old when you went to those next Olympic Games. That was 1980, and of course that was the year that some countries did not show up, including the United States. What was the atmosphere like around the Moscow Games?
Well, Russians at that time, the Soviet Union they were our toughest competitors. I don't remember a competition being as hard as that because we were competing with our the gymnasts who were better than us, better than Romania. So it was very hard to compete there. But, you know, I made a mistake in qualifying. I fell from the uneven bars. And at that time, I'm not sure if you're very familiar with gymnastics. At that time, you had to carry the scores of the qualification into the all-around competition. Now you qualify and you start from zero if you qualify.
It was really an interesting Olympics in that you went up against a Soviet gymnast, Elena Davidova, And you lost to her, but then you came back and you won individual golds on the beam and the floor that year. And so you had to play with a lot of things emotionally, didn't you, Nadia?
Well, as I said earlier, I made a mistake, and, you know, I had to carry that half of a point all the way through the end. After qualifying, I placed fourth. And then when I competed the next day, I managed to finish silver all around. You know, Davidova, she competed with no mistake, and she won. And, you know, I saw her actually in February because she trains in Canada now, and she brought some of her gymnasts here in Oklahoma for the Nadia Comaneci International Invitational. So even though we were rivals then, you know, we were very good friends now.
When you look back on the Olympic competitions that you had, what do you think was the essence of your success?
The essence of my success will disappoint a lot of people. It was hard work, hard work, and hard work. There was not the magic pill.
Is there a particular memory about the Olympics, all the Olympics and all the competitions that to this day, Nadia, still is ingrained in your mind that you look back upon and it's the one that stands out?
Well, I want to say that the Olympics in 76, because I was 14 and a half, and the 10 and the history that came with that. And, you know, probably this will be the best memory and the best accomplishment that I made in my career.
What do you see as the difference in today's gymnasts, the world-class gymnasts, as compared to during your era?
Well, a lot of things changed in gymnastics. The equipment is much better than used to be many years ago. It's, you know, the floor has springs and the beam is covered and the vaulting table is much better than used to be before. The scoring is different. You can only get a 10 in execution. So, you know, I can say that it's harder because the gymnasts do a lot of difficult skills than we used to do. But at that time, what we used to do with what we had was difficult for that particular time.
One of the things I've always been fascinated in, Nadia, is the fact that there are two sports, particularly in Olympic competition, in which youthfulness is an advantage. And I think of not only gymnastics, where, as you mentioned, you were 14 years old first time around, but also swimming as well. And with the type of training and commitment that it takes, there is the possibility of burnout. And we hear about those stories, but what was it that kept you from burning out on this sport?
Well, I kind of knew how long I want to stay with the sport, so I never wanted to force, you know, I wanted to do more than I put my mind to it. I always was thinking that, you know, I did my first Olympics, I'm 14 and a half, 4 years later I can manage another one, but I didn't want to go before the third because I realized exactly what you said. It's very difficult to compete, you know, youthfulness. I mean, it's when you put a 16-year-old with a 27, it's not that easy. I always said that I like people to miss me from the sport instead of saying, like, you know, is she still around?
Was it hard for you to walk away from this sport? I talk to baseball players, football players, basketball players, and they always talk about the suddenness of leaving their sport, particularly if they're professional athletes. What was it like for you?
It was sad. It was difficult. Even though I was prepared and I knew I was going to do that, when I had officially to say that I'm retiring, it was difficult. And I, you know, after that, I said, like, now what am I going to do now?
And how about getting yourself back into an everyday life? What did you do to transition?
Well, I stayed with the sport. I became a coach and I did some judging. So I stay close to the sport as I do now, because this is what I know. And, you know, here in Oklahoma, we have a gymnastic academy together with another Olympic champion, who is my husband, Bart Connor. So we transition, I can say, pretty smooth into the business world, but it's the business world of gymnastics mostly.
One of the things that I've always found is that the great athletes or players in other sports, when they become managers or, like you said, coaches, it sometimes can be hard for them, Nadia, and the reason is the fact that they played the game at a high scale, you know, a high level skill level. And yet when other players or other people don't make the same commitment that they do, they get upset about that. You were a World Olympic champion. Is it hard for you to deal with anything other than perfection and also a commitment like Nadia made?
You know, I tell kids, you know, we have 30 or more than 30 coaches at our academy. I don't coach day by day because we have a lot of other commitments and speaking engagements, and I have to travel. But I tell kids at our gym, I said, I was not perfect all the time. I said, I made mistakes, and I understand, but this is the way that you can deal with them, and this is the road that you can go to perfection. I'm human, and I understand that you can't do everything perfect.
Nadia, I want to thank you, and thank you for not only what you've done outside of sports, but also what you did with the Olympics and everything. It was a moment I'll never forget, having watched those games in 1976 up in Montreal. Thank you. You're welcome here anytime.
Thank you very much.
Nadia Comaneci with us. We'll take a break. Come back with more on Sports Byline.